Welcome to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Motors of More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota, and by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota. Hey gang, thanks for checking in again. A real quick update on my Jeep, the multifunction switch that has been giving me troubles over the years. I kind of found out it wasn't the multifunction switch after all. So I ordered a new one, put it in, and it worked for a week. But then after a few days, it was giving me the same trouble again, where the hazard lights wouldn't work and the blinkers wouldn't work. Well, kind of dangerous again. So I took it back apart again, took all 5 minutes, and came to the conclusion that the plug itself has gone bad. It's kind of just broken up and deteriorated over the years, and wasn't going to work for us anymore. So, but I was able to kind of push that plug in, the wire in a little more from the backside, kind of push it back onto the multifunction switch, and it works just fine now. But someday it's going to be a little longer process of putting a new plug in on the end, which is going to require some heat tape and some that new plug. So that's a $50 piece instead of another $100 piece for the multifunction switch. So just got to put a new plug in on the end with some extended wires. So I'll be doing that sometime soon. No real updates on the Jeep. We did get a Today is Sunday, beautiful day, middle of Memorial Day weekend, turned into a beautiful day. My wife came down and said, hey, let's go for a ride. We ended up in way west of Chaska. I just kind of cruising some back roads, and on the way back, we hit the coffee shop. So kind of a little Jeep adventure we had today, and we were gone for a couple hours. It's top down, doors off weather, and it got nicer and nicer as the day went along. So that's the Jeep build update, the repair, and kind of a little mini adventure we went on. My next guest that you're going to hear from in a second here, his name is Jacob, and you're going to hear about his project he has going on and kind of a little bit about his background, how he got into off-roading. He's a very handy guy. You'll find that out pretty quick. So this is Jacob, and hopefully we'll be riding with him again soon. Hey, Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you, Mitch?
Good. You're coming in loud and clear. So
this Perfect.
Is our... For people who are listening, this is about our fourth attempt trying to figure out the old interwebs. There's a lot of people out there using Zoom right now, so we are trying just the regular app this time. So I kind of introduced Jake a little bit earlier in the podcast. Jacob, he has some great stories. I got to meet him this weekend. He has some private land that he's putting together for some off-roading, and he invited me up there. He's a listener of the podcast. He invited me up there under the guise of going off-roading, but I knew we were going to do some trail cleaning. I did get a little tiny bit of off-roading in, but it was more about training, building up the trails a little bit. So he invited me out there to work, and I'm going to invite him on my podcast a little bit to kind of tell us where it's at on this private land, what it is, what he's building, and what we can expect in the near future here. So Jacob, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Go ahead. Tell us all about the land you're building up there.
So it kind of started as an accident. We actually have three wood stoves that we're feeding wood to all the time, and it was clearly just an easier way to get into our great amount of acreage to get in and out for wood. And I started making more and more trails over the past couple of years, and one thing led to another, and a couple of guys got in contact with me, and they're like, hey, them trails that you're making for a wood truck, can we actually get Jeeps in there? I was like, yeah. He's like, I take my Jeep in there all the time in the winter. And they said, well, can we come up? I was like, sure. So I had them up, and we did a little winter wheeling thing in there, and kind of one thing led to another, and they're saying we should start having more people up here and make these trails a little bit bigger or a little longer. Or so over the course of last winter and now this spring, I have about 9.8 miles of trails that I have recorded, and my wife is actually working this week on recording the balance of the trails. I think we're shooting for around 11 to 12 at the moment, and it's okay summer wheeling. It's really good for starter Jeeps or stock Jeeps or stock vehicles. And in the wintertime, we can get the big boys out, and it's crazy winter wheeling. The snow gets crazy deep, and it's kind of safe wheeling because we don't have a lot of hills, and we do have a lot of trees and a lot of little obstacles that way. So it's very nimble trails. Gives you kind of a good challenge to wander around and work around the trails. And we were lucky enough to have a gentleman come up with his daughter, and they have a crossover vehicle, and they brought it up, and like, we should make some signs for this. And he ended up offering to make all the signs. So him and his daughter this winter started making us a ton of signs for the park. And we started, you know, signing everything off and making actual trail maps and routes and weaving amongst all the trails. And it's slowly becoming a thing.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that guy, because I remember your wife was standing there. She says, yeah, Ross is here. And I look over and I saw there's a Nissan Xterra, and I laughed. I go, is it Ross, the guy I went to high school with? I'm thinking, sure enough, the guy I went to high school with was out there. And it's the second time I've randomly ran into Ross at an event. And one was a concert in by the zoo, and the other one was at this thing. So we started laughing. We got to talking a little bit and kind of hung out for the rest of the time I was there. We kind of worked together. He's going to be on a future episode, I hope, to talk about his overland build. So I'm going to contact him next. So we should back up a little bit and kind of explain where this is at. So it's near Brainerd, and it's not too far from Spider Lake and not too far from the Crosby trails, off-road trails, which I just learned about today. It sounds like I need to go off-roading up in Crosby. But how far are you from Spider Lake?
It's about 25, 30 minutes. I mean, and you can take some back roads from our place, and it takes about 45, 50 minutes, depending on which way you take. And it's kind of fun. We've had a few groups now over the course of the past year that will camp at our place and hit our trails, and then they slowly meander up to Spider Lake and then hit them trails and then come back and camp again at our place.
Mm-hmm. So right now, and how far are you from Crosby? This should kind of help paint the picture for our listener.
If you take main roads that way, it's about a 45-minute drive. Again, if you take back roads and take the scenic way, which most Jeeps do, it boils down to about 25 minutes over to Crosby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're not too, all of it's scenic. For a guy who lives in the cities now and grew up in the sticks, anything out that's not, it doesn't have a skyscraper next to it, to me, is scenic. So,
yeah. Well, and I recommend to a lot of people when they come up and visit us or they message me, and I always tell them, it's like, you got to come up County Road 25 from the cities. And I said, come into our park from the back way. And they're like, well, why should we do that? And I was like, because you got to start watching on your right hand side when you're coming through the little tiny town of Piers. And I said, if you ever seen buffalo before, we got a big old buffalo farmer right in town. I said, you can stop, take some pictures of all the buffalo and check them out. And they're like, really? There's buffalo up there? I was like, yes, there's buffalo up here.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a nice drive up when I took it. And I knew it was going to rain in the afternoon, so I got up early. And I was one of the earlier ones there who were going to help out. But still, it was a nice drive to get out of the cities on Saturday and go visit you with you. So right now, the trails, definitely, I would say they're tight. But you were working on with the chainsaw. When I first saw you, you were on a 6x6, and later on, I thought it was a four wheeler, just a regular four wheeler. But then you came up and you had on the full woodsman garb, and I looked in the back of your vehicle, back of your 6x6. After a while, you had four Husqvarna chainsaws sitting back there, and I'm like, no steals, huh? And you had an opinion about Husqvarna versus steel chainsaws even. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I kind of do, and it goes both ways. My personal opinion, Husqvarna versus steel, there's so many arguments out there on the two, and I got nothing bad to say about either. But if you're a tall, bigger guy, then I say steel all the way for you, because they're lengthier saws. I mean, they fit a taller guy, you know, way better in my mind. I'm a short little guy, and Husqvarnas are short and stocky, and I can have a 24 or 28-inch bar on Husqvarna, and it works just great for me, and it works so good. I kind of was born and raised around Husqvarna with all the tree work we've done over the years, and just kind of grown up from there. And I've had steel, and I've operated steel. I used to work with a few logging crews, and them guys have every saw known to man and jumping back and forth. But at the end of the day, I still go back to my Husqvarna every time. And I do have kind of the assortment of saws right now, because I don't really do tree service work now, at least that I advertise anyway, but I still do a lot of logging with the three wood stoves I do. It boils down to a lot of wood a year.
Yeah, and you said you built these trails in the middle of the night. You were telling me about how you built them, and you did them all within a few hours. And
I did. It ended up being quite crazy. So I was kind of getting just frustrated with getting the wood truck stuck in there and trying to get in there. It's like, I got to come up with a more efficient way of doing this, because the traditional way for almost any person that has a wood stove is you go and cut a tree down, you go back with your old pickup truck and throw the logs in the back, you bring it back, you hand split it, and you feed your wood stove. Well, we're talking like cords and cords and cords of wood that I'm dealing with most of the time solo, and it's like, I got to come up with a better way to do this. And I also have to do this with my kids. So I take my kids to the woods with me every weekend, and I was like, oh, I got to come up with a better way. So it boiled down to, we found an old one-ton Ford truck that had a landscape bed on it, which I severely modified. So it has some pretty gnarly rub rails on it so we can make tight corners. And then I used to own, but I ended up renting back from the guy, a commercial tree hog. And they're hard to come by, and they'll take up to a 6-inch tree down. And I was like, oh, I'll rent this thing for the weekend, but with the time schedule I'm in, like, I'm going to have to do all this at night so I don't have my kids with me and I can get it knocked out at night. So I ended up renting it on a Friday afternoon, and I went to work Friday night with it, and I just went crazy. I mean, picture yourself dropped in 250 acres blind, and all you got is your headlights to go by. So it kind of looked like a drunken sailor just cutting trails all over the place. And I was trying to shoot for 8 to 10 foot wide, comfortable enough to get the truck in there, but not enough where I'm wrecking, you know, good trees. And how they end up being so crazy is I was avoiding knocking down any good trees. We only cut dead and down. We try not to ruin any good vegetation or any, you know, new growth. So I was just making trails all over the place. And I come up on this one trail, and I'm dropping down in this, it's a very small valley, and I drop down, and all of a sudden I'm looking at the ground. I found about an 8 foot deep hole down in there. And when I actually met you, Mitch, I was like, that's actually where you were cleaning up, which we actually deemed that part of the park now Soup Bowl. But it ended up becoming quite a fun little obstacle for the Jeeps in the wintertime. I mean, you can do it. We found out you can do it with a Cherokee in the summertime. You will put it on three wheels, but it can be done with a Cherokee. But in the wintertime, it can definitely test out your winching skills.
Yeah, I went through both those little one was a smaller hole and the other one's a big hole. But I went through both of those little bowls there with my Jeep, and it was fun. One guy didn't follow me even through the little one, though. So I was like, why'd you do that? He goes, I don't think I would have got through there. I was like, well, it wasn't that deep. It wasn't that crazy. If it was wet or if it was snow or mud, it would have been a different story. But
right.
But those are fun. I think that's where I told you. It's right next to a deer stand there. So
yeah.
That was an interesting little. I mean, for you to go use. I'm trying to look up the tree hog online here, but you say you log all by yourself. Yeah, 'cause you can grab a tree and kind of split it and put it in the back of a trailer pretty quick by yourself.
Well, the way I do it now, the way my system is we got that wood truck, so now I go in and I'll go in on an evening, you know, usually 2, 3, 4 hours before dusk, and I'll go and drop as many dead trees as I can, and I cut them in 6 and 8 foot lengths now that we have the abundance of trails. Then I custom built I call it a thumb. There's no grapple on the market to do the work that I felt I needed to do the work I do for demolition and for tree work, because I need to get it in tight, nimble areas. So I custom designed my own thumb grapple. I've still never to this day seen one on the market like I have. And it allows me to go into the woods and grab these logs and carry them out, again, without wrecking any good vegetation, and carry them out rather than dragging them. Because so many other loggers, you know, when they come in and they log or they get too big, you know, everything's getting drug and everything's getting destroyed. I simply make a single track in. I go and pick up all the dead and down trees first. Then I drop all the dead trees and I go in and I pick these up, and I got my father-in-law in the wood truck now. So I bring the logs out, I drop them in his truck, and then I go in later. We got a couple of really old school ATM 600 5-wheelers, and we go in with that, and we actually cut up and limb up all the small branches too. So it's pretty much like, what do you want to call it, but like zero
waste.
Problems with the ground and zero waste.
Oh.
You know, I mean, it's only the most minimal amount there is. So everything's clean, you know. So we have a very clean, nice woods all said and done. And that it's good because it, you know, it uses all of our abilities and gets us all the wood stoves filled up and keeps everything nice for everybody. And then we bring all the logs out to a field. That kind of became our camping field by accident too. So we used to make all these rows of logs in the field. And then once it started getting cooler out where you can run saws for a longer duration, you obviously can't run a saw very long in the summer. It gets to be October, November. We'll go out there for an afternoon. The kids will play in the field and I'll block everything up and, you know, 16, 18 inch blocks. And that worked out pretty good. But then again, as like my kids were getting bigger and they got irritated being out there so long, when I was out there with I got a hydraulic wood splitter, and it got to be quite the ordeal. And then 2 years ago, I was actually trying to put a like 36 inch block on my wood splitter, and my kids weren't with me this day, and I took out my seventh vertebrae putting that log on the splitter, and I couldn't move my legs. So I ended up crawling into my machine and drove it 2.5 miles home to my wife to get me to the hospital for them to take me to the chiropractor to say, you need your back put back in place. So they fixed me back up. And after that, I started doing some hard research. It's like, I can't keep doing this way, and the kids can't be out there that long, and I need an even more efficient way to do this. So now I actually have a log processor that I put on the front of my skid steer, and I can split a full dump trailer load of wood about every 18 to 20 minutes with all three kids and a cup of coffee on my lap. And they enjoy it. We're listening to the radio and we're splitting wood, and my father-in-law will be driving his wood truck, hauling the split wood. My wife will be driving my Jeep with my custom built trailer on that, hauling to my place, and we can knock out cords and cords of wood in only a few hours now.
Yeah, you keep saying your kids are getting bigger, but your kids are, the oldest one was not even six, and you have three of them.
I have three kids. I got quite the handful. I have a five-year-old, I have a three-year-old, and then I have, which another week out, and she's going to be 2 years old. So I usually put one on each side of me in the machine, and then I got a, if you want to call it a chest carrier or a cargo carrier for kids, and it's meant to be worn on your back, but I wear it on my chest. And I put the littlest one right in front of me there, and she's usually out in about 5 minutes. And the other two, about 20, 30 minutes in, will listen to the radio, and they're bounced to sleep. And my wife is celebrating that I got all the kids, and she gets a break and no noise, and she can just drive the Jeep and be happy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're gonna talk a bit about, well, you're a hardworking man, and I actually mentioned that a little bit. And you said you started working full-time at age 12 years old. So, and you kind of told me the story why you started doing that at age 12. So kind of fill our listener in on a little bit about your life, about Jacob in a nutshell.
Yeah, nothing was really planned from what I've incurred over the years. But at the age 12 years old, I was in school and my dad was working on a roofing job. He owned a construction company, which I went to him with every job I possibly could when I could. And he was on a roof, and he had his first heart attack on a roof and slid off the roof. And we had an equipment business, too, and we did a lot of excavating and dirt work and gravel work. And I, ever since I could, well, even before I could reach pedals, I've been running equipment. So at age 12, I ended up dropping out of school and immediately became the head equipment operator of his business because he was at home for a while. And it seemed every year after that growing up, he always had a major, major medical issue. And then finally 6 years ago, we lost him to cancer. But every year I had to just keep building up more and more and do more and get better and help take care of the family. And I ended up doing homeschooling on the side. We did that on the way to jobs in between until I could actually get my driver's license. So mom would drive to the cities or mom would drive to the counts, and we were coordinating guys and crews and kind of bouncing all over. But we did a smorgasbord of everything. We were jacks of all trades, masters of none. We did everything from retaining walls to plowing snow to landscaping, just you name it. We did it at some point in time over the years. And we didn't even just work local. We worked pretty much the whole southern part of the state all the way to Aiken, Minnesota. And that's kind of where I grew up over there.
Hey, Gig, a little sponsor break real quick here. Motors & More Jeeps in Rayner, Minnesota has a pretty sweet 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee in for you. And I know a little bit about Jeep Grand Cherokees because my wife has one. She has the 2017 version. We like it a lot. Great family vehicle. We can do some light off-roading. They're ready to go. And also, we have some great comfortable seats, great sound system. So they just got a 2018 in. Just got it in. There's only one picture so far, but if you contact those guys over at Motors & More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota, they can set up an appointment with you and take you through the process of what that vehicle might do for you. So it's a great vehicle. Like I said, we got one, and Our family liked it so much, my sister-in-law bought one too. So she's it's always been one thing that she wanted. So she saw that my wife had one, she took it out, she goes, "I love this thing," and she bought one for herself. So if you're in a market for a good vehicle like that, go check that one out. It's a great vehicle. And also, if you pick up that vehicle and you want some work done on it, or another Jeep or another off-roader from Bordersmore Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota, you get a $500 credit towards Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota. And so that's a great 1-2 punch for you. And also, if you already have a vehicle, an off-roader, you want some work done to it, you need to have a lift kit. You need some custom work done. You need a bumper or a winch installed, or you need some other crazy stuff done. Zeus Off-Road is your place to go for that. That's in Burnsville, Minnesota. And if you mention a podcast and you get some work done, it might be a free hat or t-shirt in it for you. So check those guys out in Burnsville and check those other guys out in Brainerd, Minnesota. So Bordersmore Jeep in Brainerd and Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville. And at age 16, you walked into a Ford dealer, and what'd you ask for?
I kept seeing that our business needed improving, and we kept needing things to make things easier. It's like I've always been trying to make things easier on myself, my family, and my family I have now. It's like I was trying to make things easier. And we had all these sod jobs coming up, and we had all this work that we had a lot of trailers and a lot of equipment, but it's like rather than making 3 trips to a job, it's like, man, I'd like to be able to just make 1 trip to the job, less driving time, or just a more efficient way to do it. So I kind of, this is long before research and YouTube and all that, and I kind of got into that way before all that stuff came to be. And I found out that you could get a hotshot trailer and you could run, two skid steers or a skid steer and an excavator on there and, get bigger that way or haul, half a semi load of sod. So at 16 years old, my very first vehicle, and I get crap for it to this day, at 16, I walked into a Ford dealership and I told them I wanted a Ford 1-ton Super Cab dually diesel. And the salesman looked at me because I was dropped off by my mom. And the guy looks at me like I was drinking, and I says, "No, I'm serious." I said, "I don't want it new." I said, "If you can find me one that I want as new as I can without the new price tag," because I knew the insurance was going to kill me. And my parents are very strict with that and said, "If you get it, you're going to have to insure it yourself. It's yours." And I was like, "That's fine." And at 16 years old, they found me out of Iowa a really nice, with I think it had 23,000 miles on it, Ford 1-ton dually diesel. And I ordered it and signed the paperwork, put as much as I could down on it, and within a week I had a big dually truck. And it was about 3 weeks after that I put it in an order and I got a 32-foot ABU double dovetail gooseneck trailer and put that to work. And that kind of opened up a whole new realm for me because not only did I use it for my parents' business, then I had everyone and their brother calling me as like, "Hey, Jake, you got this great big trailer. Can you haul this for me? Can you haul that for me?" And that's kind of how my like side hotshot business got started. And Paul Bunyan got in touch with me, and I actually hauled the climbing wall for Paul Bunyan Land and did a bunch of work for them. And I got in on a lot of different things. I actually had a big enough trailer I could haul full-size semis on it. So then I got called by a few guys. "My truck is broke down. Can you get a semi on your trailer?" "Sure, why not?" So I'd drive all the way out there, this 1-ton in this trailer, and we'd put a load of full semi on there, and I'd haul it to a shop, and it got kind of crazy, and that kind of got me an itch for hauling.
And that's one of the reasons, like, when you first contacted me, you're like, "Well, I work 80 hours a week, and we're in a pandemic, and there's millions of people don't have jobs. I'm like, how are you working 80 hours a week? And tell us what you're doing now."
Well, it's probably half because I'm crazy and half because I need to keep everything going and everything moving all the time. But so yeah, I went from doing hot shot to taking a side job at a truck shop. One thing led to another, working at the truck shop that we had a rolled truck come in and they said, "Well, we need to get rid of this truck, but it's too good for scrap price. What should we do with it?" They're like, "But we really need a driver too." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean you need a driver? What is like trucking?" I was kind of greener than green. I didn't know nothing about it. I was just a stupid kid at the shop, doing brake jobs at the time on the side. And like, "Well, let us take you for a run and we'll show you." And they ran curtain side trailers. So they threw me in a truck and like, "Let's go for a run." And we went on a run and like, this is kind of cool. And what kind of opened my eyes to that is like, okay, we did this run and you get paid X amount. And that was it. You just picked up, you dropped off, you got paid. It's like, wow, this is simple. Like, boy, was I in for a rude of awakening once I started my business. It ain't that simple, but it seemed a lot simpler than the business I was currently in as construction and landscaping, because you're dealing with husbands and wives and family and people that are on vacations and cabins and trying to keep everything coordinated. So I ended up buying this truck that was a complete pile of junk that was totaled. But that wasn't crazy enough of me, so I bought another one that was a Lay's potato chip truck. Then I bought a third truck that was blown up with ether, and I told everyone. At the time, I was doing 5 jobs, okay? And I was just going crazy trying to keep everything going. So I told everyone, I was like, I'm quitting everyone for a month. And it ended up taking me, I want to say, 36 or 37 days. And I took 3 trucks. With the help of the shop owner that I was working at, he was very gracious enough, let me use his shop. And I morphed all 3 trucks into 1 truck. And it wasn't the prettiest to start out with. It was legal. It passed DOT. The DOT officer scratched his head when I told him what I did and wasn't quite sure. And mind you, I still didn't even have a CDL at this time. I had a semi before I had a CDL. Didn't even, you know, have time to study for a CDL at the time, but I had a truck. So I got the truck done, and I had been studying the book, but didn't go to no classes or schooling for it. And I had work for the truck on a Monday, and I went to take my test on a Friday. That's how close it was. I had the insurance, and I had everything in play. I had everything organized. So I am going and taking my test, and I got to the testing facility, and I had one. It was my future boss. I had his brand new Kenworth W900 with a side dump on it and big, beautiful truck. I got up there. The guy jumped up in the cab for me to take my driver's test. And I'm starting to do the pre-trip inspection on the inside of the truck, you know, and I hand him my paperwork and he immediately shuts the book and says, you fail. What do you mean I fail? And he's like, the way it was then, and I don't know if it is now, you actually have to have a hard insurance card, and your insurance card has to state your name. This truck was too new. He didn't have the proper paperwork for me to legally take my test in the truck. I was like, oh, no, I can't do this. So I ended up not working that whole next week. I told everyone, you know, I was going to start this trucking gig, and I couldn't do it. So I ended up, I got lucky enough and fortunate enough to reschedule my test for a following Friday, and it was kind of the same principle. Scheduled it for Friday. I had work for it on Monday, but that truck was gone. It went to North Dakota for a job, and I couldn't have that truck. And I was like, I can't afford to rent a truck. It's $1,200 to rent a truck to take a test, you know. Well, I got gracious enough that a fellow dirt man that I met wanted some airlines replaced and some work done on his trailer. And he said, I'll tell you what, he said, this job is going to take about 6-8 hours of labor at a shop. If you think you can fix it and you can do it, I'll give you my Peterbilt and you can take a test on the Peterbilt. He said, but here's the catch. The only trailer I have available is a 4-axle RGN. We're talking a truck trailer that's in excess of 70 plus feet, taking a road test in downtown Brainerd, Baxter. And I was like, well,
do it the hard
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And it was like, it was a little overwhelming. I mean, granted, I got equipment background and all that, but this is over my head. A 4-axle trailer. I mean, granted, I could lift 2 axles up, but it was large. Well, I'll try it. I don't have another option. So I did. And the instructor came out and he seen the trailer I had and the truck I had. And he flat out told me, he's like, you're crazy. And I made it. He did give me an allowance for making corners because you needed every square inch you could to make a corner in town. And the passenger parallel park was a little bit interesting, too, to pass that. I passed it, got it on one shot, but it was tight. It was close. But so I ended up passing my test and went right to work with that. And I, over the years, long story short, I've done side dumping. I've done logs. I've done reefer. I've done heavy haul, oversized, double T's, girders, trusses. I've done everything but tanker pretty much at some point in time. And my wife and I, we ended up getting into this crazy gig of running bees, pollination bees out to California on a weekly basis. And we started running bees out there. And that kind of opened a whole new realm to us. And the hours were just crazy. We were gone for 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks straight. And then we come home and people thought we were nuts for 4 or 5 days. And we were just renting a place at the time. And we'd come home for 4 or 5 days and then go out again. And for her and I, it was more like living a dream, because we would just park the truck off wherever we wanted, get a rental car and go goof around, you know, for a weekend or something. And it was a lot of fun. We kind of started that and did that. And then when we finally decided to have kids, we're like, well, we need a significant change. So we started looking at different things, and I tried a few other things, and it landed on hopper bottom. Now I do hopper bottom, hence why I'm doing like 80-hour weeks right now, because food's got to come from somewhere. But I do hopper bottom, and I run from dairies and granaries and feed places, and I'm home a lot more now. I typically work Monday through Friday or Monday through Thursday, and I feed cows, I feed pigs, you know, feed humans, you know, we pick up grain and feed all over, you know. Currently this week I'm running canola to be crushed into canola meal. That'll feed the dairies for the cattle, and then they'll process the oil, and oil end up being sold to restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. So this isn't just you know, crossroad off-road Jeep talk. We're also going to talk logging. We're going to talk trucking. We're going to talk it all. But the reason I wanted to bring Jacob in is because he's got some great stories. And you just heard a couple of them already. So it's awesome. I love hearing your stories and hearing about your what you're doing. But I want to kind of steer our conversation back to some
yeah.
Jeep talk. And I want to talk about when I met you, you start telling me, I go, how'd you get into Jeeps? He goes, oh, that's a great story. And it starts in Yuma, Arizona, about with palm trees.
Yes.
So tell us about the palm trees in Yuma,
the good
Arizona.
Old palm tree whisper. Oh, this was just wild. So me and my wife, like I said, we were hauling bees to California. And we had a good backhaul of going to Yuma, Arizona, which we were very well educated that you cannot grow palm trees in the state of Florida. So they buy all their palm trees from the little town of Yuma, Arizona, and truck them all the way there. So we landed in Yuma, Arizona on our first round, got there, and out of the blue comes this guy just flying through the dunes in what I learned to be now, I was very uneducated in Jeeps at the time, was a CJ7 with had to be a 6 or 7 inch lift and big old 37 inch tires. He's a bouncing through the dunes. It's like, man, that looks like fun. My wife and I, we were 6, 7 months pregnant at the time. And he comes wheeling up and he's talking to us and he tells us that he's this palm tree researcher. And he picks out the perfect palm trees for your house. And you call him up, he'll find the perfect palm tree. And that's all he does all day. Drive this Jeep around through the palm tree fields and picks out the perfect palm tree. Put your name on it. They harvest it. They put it on trucks like us, and we ship it to your house. And it's just a wild job. And I was like, man, this is so cool. So we got talking to this guy that we're in the market for trying to find a vehicle for my wife, because all I had was big trucks for when she starts staying home and that will accept kids. But the stickler point is, me and my wife only drive sticks. We do not any way, shape, or form want an automatic. Well, he goes, well, here's the keys. Take my Jeep for a spin. See what you think. And I've kind of gone known for liking sand dunes and four-wheelers and dirt bikes, and that's kind of a pastime of mine. It's like, oh, boy, this is dangerous, you know? So he had no doors, no top, and, you know, we were pretty careful. But, yeah, we jumped in that thing, and he goes, yeah, go rip around while we load the trailer up. So we went ripping around, and we got done. It's like, oh, this is addicting. This could be really fun. So we,
it is,
and the wife goes, this would be fun, but I don't think we always wanted three kids. They're like, I don't think we can fit three kids in one of these, and it's like, this is going to be crazy loud, you know, it's like, this may not work as a good commuter. So he got done loading our trailer, and we started BSing with him, and he said, well, you need to come to the shop. He said, if you're thinking of having a big family, I was like, what's at the shop? He's like, you follow me. So I think we jumped on a side-by-side or an ATV at the time, and he took us back to their palm tree shop. And if I would have seen this now, I would have probably never left, because I was just in awe. Here's this whole line of Jeeps. I mean, all the way from like an MB Jeep all the way to, at the time, it was the current JK. and they're all ripped apart. All these really nice Jeeps, and they're all ripped to pieces. He's building every single one of them up all at the same time. I mean, there's axles going in one. I swear there was a motor going in another one. The MB Jeep was getting restored. Just all this crazy Jeepness going on. And he tells us, like, yeah, he's like, look at these JKs. He says, they got it. It's called a family package. Well, it's not really a family package. Come to find out, it's just the car seat brackets in the back seat. You can get three car seats in there. Like, well, that would probably work. So we left this ordeal, and we were on the road for a few weeks yet, and we got back home, and now we had the Jeep itch. We got it. It was like gold fever. So we went into a dealership right away, and we got home. I don't even think we unpacked the truck, to be honest with you. We jumped right in the pickup, and we went right to a dealership when we got home because, like you said, we were 6 or 7 months pregnant. We wanted a vehicle, you know, for the kid when they came home with. And we went to the dealership, and all they had on the dealership was, at the time, Sierras and Rubicons. And again, I didn't know nothing about Jeeps. And I looked at the stickers on them, and I was like, oh, my God, these things are crazy expensive. Like, I can't pay more for a Jeep than I can build a semi for. Like, this is nuts. So we kind of went back on the road for a few weeks and didn't think much of it, and the Jeep thing kind of wore off because, like, I don't want to afford it. It's too expensive. We ended up landing back at that crazy guy's place, and we started talking to him in Yuma again. And he goes, no, no, no. He said, the reason we have so many Jeeps here, he said, because we know about the factory direct order. I said, what do you mean factory direct? And he goes, I don't know how long they're going to do this for yet, but he said, you could do this all the way back to, as far as I know, the CJs. But you can call up the Toledo, Ohio dealership, the manufacturer, and request a vehicle all stripped down. And they will drop ship it to you, but the catch is you have to pay for it in full or you have to finance it yourself. But he said it's not usually drivable when you get it. I was like, really? And that really piqued my interest because, like, well, I'm kind of known around my family, my neighborhood, my everything. I don't have a stock anything. I've never had a stock vehicle. So it's like, wow, this is going to be awesome. So we got back home and we started doing some online research, and we ended up going back to the same dealership that had the Jeep for sale. And I ended up meeting up with this real nice gentleman, and I told him what we know. And he was kind of like, darn it, you know about this program. But he said, I've sold quite a few Jeeps under. And he goes, yeah, you can do it through me. So right then and there, we placed our order for, at the time, it was a brand new 2014. And to do that, it would take, I believe it was 6 or 8 weeks. And they ended up drop shipping. We were back in California when the Jeep was going to arrive, and they were going to drop ship it to my shop, but they couldn't because you have to sign for it. You can't just drop a vehicle. It's not really put together at someone's house with no one to sign for it. So I called that salesman up that I was talking to. I was like, can we drop it back in town? He goes, yeah, sure, that's fine. He's like, we'll put it in the garage for you, and we'll hold it till you get back. So he was nice enough and gracious enough to let us do that. And we no sooner got it to my house than I started tearing it apart. And that is what we deem our Overlander Jeep. We have two Jeeps.
And when you got that one, you said that the seats weren't bolted in either.
It's pretty
right?
much, it was, at the time when you did factory direct, it was pretty much like a baseline built Jeep minus a lot of assembly. So like the back seats, they weren't bolted in. They were laying in their crisscross in shrink wrap. The top bolts had like shrink wrap and stuff around them. There was a lot of little things that weren't quite finished. I believe the glove compartment was sitting on the floor, just a bunch of little oddball things. I mean, nothing major that you had to do. I mean, it was a roller, and that one we did want it with a hard top. So it did come with the hard top. It came with these little shipper tires. They look like little mailman wheels. They're even smaller than the factory Jeep wheels. And it just looked silly. And right away, I had some parts sitting at the shop for it, and we put 33s on it immediately. And coming from a diesel big truck background, I kind of knew how the gearing worked, so I actually ordered it. So I set it up with a manual transmission through first through fifth gear is for county road driving. Sixth gear would be my overdrive, like you set up a semi, so we get good fuel mileage. And
It's got what?
It's
you
got
said 321
rear end in it, and a lot of people still think I'm crazy for it with the setup we run. But we were going to set it up for road tripping. Again, we still don't know about Jeeping. We're still Jeeping green, right? And we've done a little bit of stuff, but nothing to what we know about now. So we got this Jeep. Go ahead.
But you set it up for your wife to be a little more of the family vehicle and a little more mileage, and you're getting you said 22 miles the gallon pretty much all around town, and so you built it for what it's for, and maybe a little
Yeah,
light
that's what we
off-roading
planned
with
for.
this
Maybe
one.
just some scenic touring, and we didn't know about overland or anything like that. And we just set it up real simple. And we actually get about 18, 19 around town, but on long road trips that we take with it, we do get 22 miles a gallon, which a lot of people still are just baffled at that. But it's honest to goodness true, and it works quite well for us. I'm not going to say it's got a lot of power. It by no means has a lot of power. If you're going up a hill, you need two guys pushing you behind it, but it works quite well for what we want. But what really,
And one Jeep
no.
wasn't enough. You had to go in pick the factory direct the
Well,
second time around before
exactly.
they
So
quit
it
doing
started out
it.
as my wife said, well, let's do some more stuff to this one. So we did bumpers and we did tires and we did wheels and we did rock sliders and I put a back rack in it and a whole bunch of customization on it. And we went off roading a few times with it and I immediately got the itch. It was like, oh, I could go bigger. And we sat down and we talked about it. And it was like everyone says, just get a Jeep and go with 40s and 1 tons and you'll be happy. And that's what you should go with. And it literally is true. You really should just do that and be done with it. So we sat down and had a talk about it. It's like, we really just want a vehicle that's not a 1 ton. So let's just quit building this Jeep. Leave it alone. This is your Jeep. Leave it alone. I honestly hate the color of it. It's a copper tone pearl and she loves it. So she loves that. So then she gave me the okay. She's like, well, your service truck is getting tired and we're going to be selling that. If you sell that, you can order another Jeep. And I was like, all right, sounds good. And I was like the luckiest guy in the world. I've never owned nothing new in my life. And the first new thing I bought is my wife's, right? So I say it was President's Day. I'm working in the shop and I don't know, I got a hair up my butt that day and it's like, all right, today's the day. Let's go order the Jeep. So I called a guy and wanted my little service truck and he took my service truck and I went and placed the order on another one. And granted, this is still 2014. All of this happened in under a year, right? We don't even have a baby that's a year old. And it's like I was drooling at my wife since the 2014, so I wanted another 14. I was 7 days too late on getting a 14. I had to get a 15. So that put it a week out, and there ain't that much difference other than it's a locked P or ECU. It's got a really, really, really bad sound system in it. And I don't know, it's got a few different quirks that I'm not so happy about, but mine I really gutted. I mean, they put just a shipper top on it to get it home to me. It was bare bone. That one was like almost in pieces on the cab, and it was rollable, but that was about it. And I got that one in, and my father-in-law came in the shop. I'll never forget the look on his face. He walks in the shop. Here's this brand new 2015 Jeep on blocks. Everything's ripped out. I mean, there's nothing left other than the tub, the engine, transmission, and transfer case. That's the only thing there. Everything's gutted, right? And I say everything. And he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm doing a Jeep build. And he goes, you are crazy, you know? And it took me 6 months. It would have been done in 4, but a long story short, I was 4 months into the build and I had a fluid chemical fire in my shop and my break room was above where my Jeep was on blocks. And the break room during the fire collapsed and landed on my Jeep and my Jeep had plastic over it. And
Oh
because of the
no.
heat of the fire actually shrink wrapped the plastic to my new Jeep. So it was quite a mess. And I ended up developing third degree burns on good part of my body trying to put this fire out. So I couldn't work on anything for a few weeks. So it took me a while to get everything back into place. But needless to say, I still got the Jeep built and done to my first standard, I guess, or my first stage of the build, and got it done in 6 months. And
And you put, is this when you put the new
yep,
axles in?
we
You
got
put
Jeep
different axles in
244
right away, do
axles in it and chrome Ollie axle shafts. And I did put 373 gears in it. And I, again, set it up like I would a semi, gear it high. So you got your first 5 gears, for, work and your top gear for overdrive. And it worked okay until I started off-roading. Then it's like, oh man, again, you get the itch, you know, you got to go bigger. And I did go 35s right off the bat, and I started getting the itch to go bigger. So then I ended up swapping gears myself. I put 410s in it, and I liked that even more. And then I was up on a Gilbert trip, and I made it home and got home, and I noticed just a big old pool of oil underneath the Jeep. And I was like, oh no, this ain't good. And come to find out, I cracked the rear diff cover, and it did develop enough heat that the gears were shot. So I put new 410 gears in it again. And now, next week, it's actually going in because I don't have the time. I'm switching it again, and we're going 488s and 38-inch tires, and I'm calling it done after that. I think.
Okay. So you got a nice looking Jeep and you have a matching trailer pretty much too. So I know you gave me a little quick tour of your trailer and you built it out as a little bit of an overlander for the family of five to cruise in. Beautiful little setup. You can do some incognito kind of camping in town if you need to. So you got a nice little matching kind of setup. It does look like some Coors Light mountains on
It
there,
does.
but it's not meant to be. It's something you drew up yourself, and it looks really nice. Kind of the matching setup with a nice awning. And does it have air conditioning? I
The
forgot to look. It
camper,
had air
no.
conditioning.
And the Jeep, yes, clearly by accident, it actually was not supposed to come with AC, but they screwed up on the build, so they have given me the AC for free on the Jeep. But no, I don't have AC. We do have circulation fans and everything in there, but we also haven't camped where it's in desert weather yet. And when we have camped where it's abnormally hot, we usually go more off grid and we pack in on the roof. I've kind of built both the trailer and the Jeep up quite wild. I've done all the welding and fabricating and everything on it myself. I ended up fabricating all my own rock sliders, and I'm short and my wife is tall. So we've had the sidestep debate quite a few times, and her big pet peeve and her big request was to, when she's wearing shorts, be able to jump in and out of both of our Jeeps and not skin her legs on a sideboard, which I don't blame her. So her Jeep, of course, has no steps, and mine, I could not find any steps on the market that was to my liking. So I end up building these very custom rock slide side mount steps that you have to step on to get out, which she is very happy about. And I'm very happy about because I can reach my top rack now standing on the side of my Jeep. I don't have to jump. And I am building a roof rack for it, all custom. And I decided, is like, you know, it's still too plain Jane. I got to come up with some graphics. And I called my graphics designer that I work with for all my semis. And I said, I want to come up with something really crazy, really fun, and out of the ordinary that you don't normally see. And I came up with this little sketch on my phone, and I sent it over to her, and I said, kind of go off of this with what you can do. And back and forth emails, we come up with this really cool mountain theme where these baby mountains are exploding into bigger mountains. And all said and done, it looked great on email. And I dropped the Jeep off, and it was one of the things that I did not physically do. I do not take any credit for sticking the graphics on my Jeep that I hired done. And I had her apply the graphics on there, and I came back as like, this is awesome. And then everywhere I went after that, people are like, hey, it's the Coors Light Jeep. Like, what? And I'm not a beer drinker, and I actually had a wife show me, is like, yep, it kind of replicates the Coors Light mountains without even trying, but it does. But it looks cool. So we started doing a lot of off-roading with my Jeep, and again, just going bigger and farther, and we had the tent, and it was quite well. And we have some absolute wild stories of camping in a tent in bad weather, and one thing led to another, and it's like, we want to take all three kids for days, possibly weeks, camping and really getting far out there. Like, we need to come up with something. So I started really doing some research on overlanding then, and we're getting to the era now for me anyway, where I could look at YouTube, I could look at Pinterest, I could look at, you know, other people's, you know, ideas and what's out there. But again, kind of like my Jeep, nothing was to my liking. I couldn't find anything that was to my liking or within a price range I was willing to pay. So I came up with this harebrained idea to order just a plain old gutted, just aluminum shell double V trailer. And I wanted a 5,000 pound axle on it with electric brakes because Jeeps, as everyone knows, don't stop that well. So that's what I did. So I have next to no money into this trailer, and I ended up putting windows in it, and I used knotty pine. I've done a lot of woodworking, so I finished the inside off. It's got a bathroom. It's got golf cart batteries converted to 12 volt. We got functional power for about 7 to 8 days. We can camp without solar, without anything comfortably. And I got, they're called Boy Scout backpack bunk beds for the kids. So all three kids stack on top of each other on bunk beds. I built a custom Murphy bed inside for me and the wife, which is pretty comfortable. Got a little kitchenette inside and no shower or anything like that. And I put double awnings on it. And again, got this all done. It's like, it looks like a trailer. I need to come up with something for this. So I sat back down again and I was trying to come up with a scheme for this trailer and I couldn't come up with nothing. I was like, you know what? Why don't I just keep it the same as my Jeep? The trailer's the same color as my Jeep. Let's just do that. So we actually made the mountains. It literally tears off and continues now from my Jeep to my trailer. But it's like, that wasn't enough. It's like, I want to throw like almost an Easter egg or something in it. So I came up with an idea of the trailer's being pulled with a JK. At the time, it was the newest Jeep out there. It was a JK. So then next, I have a TJ climbing one of my mountains. After that, I have a YJ coming on the side of the mountain. And then the very first Jeep, which is at the back of the trailer, is an MB Jeep, an old military Jeep, just starting up the mountain. And then on the back of the trailer, I got the old Popeye, you know, beep, beep, it's a Jeep insignia with the little Jeep icon on the back. So it's a cute little Easter egg that people sometimes notice.
Yeah, I saw one of them. I saw another one. I was looking at it. I'm like, that's a pretty nice set up there. So, and you keep mentioning the kids, and I met you all, you know, met you all your whole family. It seems like when I was out there, well, your kids are pretty happy go lucky. I think one of your kids is out marching out in the, all three of them were out marching in the woods. You know, kind of helping out a little bit. Even the little tiniest one was just marching right along. She was happy to do that. So I can only guess they'd be happy
even my
campers.
2-year-old, she's out there picking up sticks, and they're used to going to the woods and going to work with me, and they're very active, and they're very out there. They go everywhere with us. The big thing we didn't want, we wanted to get into something as a couple and as a family that you can do as a family, and I don't have anything against the DNR or safety, but you can't put a family of five on one four-wheeler. You can't put a family of five on a side-by-side typically. And it just flat out ain't safe anymore. It's not like it used to be even when I grew up. So I wanted something that was safe and that we could all get out there and really explore, and something that was affordable, because you put a whole family of five in a hotel, it's expensive. And food-wise, it's crazy expensive just to feed everyone for a long weekend. So we wanted something that we could go out and have a long-term good time with and be affordable. So that's kind of how this all really evolved. And now, yeah, they're crazy. I mean, my kids, ever since they were a matter of a few weeks old, have been off-roading us. We got 5-point harnesses for all the kids. They go out, they're hooting and hollering. I just went on a run a few weeks ago and my daughter is in the backseat. I went with no top, no doors, no nothing. And I normally don't do that if the trails are going to be bad. And they were bad. I ended up getting stuck. We got muddy. My daughter's yelling, faster, daddy, faster. My son's in the back, slow down, slow down. He's getting covered in mud. And we're trashing the inside of the Jeep. And like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. But they had so much fun and they're so involved. I mean, ever since the age of 2, I mean, on the small trail, they're sitting on my lap driving. I mean, they'll be 10 years old and be able to drive a stick, I swear. But they're very, very involved with us.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Jacob, we've been going for dang near an hour. And you have so many stories. What I'm going to do, Jacob and I got on the phone. We talked about what we wanted to talk about today. And I have two more stories that are good. And he told me about three more that are also going to be good. But I'm going to save those for another time. Because I love your stories. But I want to save those next ones. And I'm going to keep the listeners wanting more. So in a few weeks, I'm going to have Jacob on again. And he's
All
gonna fill
right.
us in on a couple more stories that you gotta hear. That was my jaw was on the floor when he told the one DNR one. So I'm definitely gonna kind of have you back and talk about those. But Jacob, you've been great. I love hearing your stories, and this is gold. I love it. So this is the type of stuff I wanted to have on the podcast. And Jacob is a great family man, great guy. I hope you guys can all meet him out sometime soon. He's got you'll hear more about his trails coming up. I'll kind of when he gets it fully up and running, I'll kind of talk about it a little bit on a podcast. And but it's right up there in Brainerd by the Spider Lake Crosby area, and you're gonna hear more about it when he has it fully ready to go to have more visitors. Right now it's a little more of a friends and family, but he's gonna have it set up for more access, do some camping up there sometime very soon. So again, Jacob, thanks for being on and kind of telling us
Thank
about
you very much for
your
having me.
life
It was
and your
great talking to
Jeeps.
you and great catching up. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks
All
again for the
right.
help
We'll
up
talk to you
there.
soon then, Jacob.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey gang, thanks for listening again to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Zeus Off-Road in Burnsville, Minnesota, and by Mortars and More Jeeps in Brainerd, Minnesota.